What's going on, everyone? Back with another episode of the Dropping Knowledge Podcast. Today, I'm joined by Jonathan Penchoff, who is one of my tattoo artists. Could I say my favorite? Is that fair?
I mean, if you didn't say favorite, I would be a little offended, but I was there before Milo. I mean, I'm not the first, but...
Not the first.
You know, I'm probably the only one who's lived at your house.
That's so true.
I feel like I have a leg up there.
We have some stories to tell you guys about, like, our friendship, and I've always wanted to do a video on tattoos. I get asked kind of frequently in videos, like, if I'm ever wearing short sleeves or in the rare occasion I have my t-shirt off in a YouTube video. So, like, last year I remember I fell into a mountain lake on a stand-up paddleboard.
And okay, I was going to say, are you shooting beach videos, bro?
Yeah, we were at like 13,000 feet. It was freezing cold. And I like jump out and I take my shirt off. And some of the comments were like, when did you get that thing?
Well, I think there's so much like people love to document their tattoos all the time, especially with, I would assume, I guess this is an assumption for sure, but I'd assume people who are like content creators are generally looking for content. And yeah. Getting tattoos is such a monumental thing for a lot of people. But I think that it's almost more abnormal to not be documenting it to the public. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely even weird for me, but I have like a weird relationship with tattoos. So today's episode, we're talking all about tattoos. You might like that. You might not. I think some people are going to dig it, though.
Yeah, I hope.
So we'll kind of, I'll just fill you guys in on all the information as we go. But I'm going to ask you the mundane, boring questions. How long have you been tattooing?
Well, I think 15 years now. But there's every tattooer, any tattooer you ever ask is going to have like, there's always an asterisk next to it, right?
Because you have your scratcher years.
Yeah. Like, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, well, including my apprenticeship, this is how long it was. I was a self-taught tattooer, generally frowned upon in the industry, but like, you know, once you've been around long enough, you realize a lot of very big name tattooers are all self-taught. So including all of that, yeah, we're at like 15 years right now.
And when in that like 15 years did you realize, like, what was a turning point where you were like, oh, I'm kind of a professional now, like I'm getting better, like you change technique, maybe it's a new machine or just better at drawing?
Yeah, I mean, like that's hard because like literally through my career I would say there's, I mean, every few years there's like a new progression where you like kind of get a chance to realize it. I think that the real moment I recognized that I was like, hey, I'm making pretty good tattoos was actually probably, as crazy as it sounds, like about 10 years in, because that was the first time that I was able to look at tattoos that were already 5 to 10 years old.
Like your own work.
Yeah, and see how they had aged. Because like anyone can make a photo like of a fresh tattoo look pretty good, especially, I mean, I'm not going to call anyone out here, but some people like use a lot of editing for their final photos to make them look better. So
yeah,
that was like the first time that you actually got to like look at, I was looking at 5-year old tattoos and going, I guess I know what I'm doing here. Like that actually held pretty well. So
I kind of thought that was going to be the answer, because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I guess I would consider myself like a professional video creator, photographer, whatever. And it wasn't until, like you said, like 5-10 years, I look back at some of my first videos and I'm like, damn, that was not great. At the time, it was okay, but yeah, so it changes quite a lot.
Yeah, and like, I mean, similar to, I would assume, making video content, is like, you have a creative, like, a style, we'll call it. Like, you have your style, you have like, even just like how fast you could edit a video from now to back then, like all that stuff. Like it's the same in tattooing, you know, like how fast can I do this? How well can I do this thing? And like, I don't know. Yeah. It is weird to like look back like that, I guess. I don't know.
So, by the way, if you guys want to like check out his artwork while we're talking, maybe you're listening to this on Spotify or whatever, Earth Grasper on Instagram.
Yep.
And you're going to be posting more.
I'm not traditionally very good at being a content creator, we'll say. I just, you know, I have a hard time posting a lot of tattoos, especially because I mostly do large scale stuff. So it feels to me like some of the magic, like if I posted, currently we're working on your back.
Right.
if I posted, and I might post it in a story, you know, something for 24 hours or whatever.
And people are like, what is that? Yeah, like,
holy
dude.
Shit. That dude fucking loved Jurassic Park or what? Oh, I swore. Are we 4 minutes in?
I don't know. I think, yeah, we're good enough. We're 5 minutes in.
I just learned that rule. I learned that just five minutes ago.
Technically, in the YouTube videos, I don't think you're supposed to swear within the first like couple minutes, but well, whatever. If it gets demonetized, it's not even monetized.
You know what? It's a miracle I made it 5 minutes, if I'm being completely honest.
We did pretty good.
Yeah, I feel pretty happy about that. But yeah, like if I'm posting every session of a large piece like that, let's say there's 10 to 12 sessions, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If I post every session, by the time I actually post the real thing, I feel like it's not like as cool. It's not like that first like wow factor.
For sure. It loses its luster. Like,
yes.
Like I don't want to post like clips of a video that is not fully out. It's
sure.
Just like,
yeah, exactly. Like, and like, I guess if you were doing something that was very, like the video was very based on a location, you probably wouldn't want to be posting pictures of that location ahead of time, really. You
yeah.
know? Like,
generally, like if I'm out camping somewhere and it's like a dope, dope spot, I won't post on Instagram or anything. I want the final product to come out yeah. first. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, this is what it looked like when I was there.
Yeah.
So
all that being said, this next year I posted that I was going to try with an earnest effort to post six things. And
six?
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, you've already made like three videos while
I'm working on three. Yeah, yeah.
Working on three.
Yeah.
So those might be out whenever this comes out.
At least one of them, probably.
But yeah.
Sometimes I make stuff and just hold on to it for a really long time. So.
Well, go follow your boy and maybe you'll see it at some point. So, I mean, there's so much to talk about with tattooing, but before we do that, I haven't even talked about this in a YouTube video yet, depending on when this comes out, but check this thing out behind us here. If you guys are watching on YouTube, we're sitting in my new studio, and while Ashley and I were in Mexico, Jonathan was here, dog sitting, and painted this mural, which is super rad.
It was a surprise, not a surprise like he didn't know it was going to happen, but a surprise that he didn't know what the subject was going to be, so it was a very, it's always a weird spot to be in, you know, you're like,
yeah.
The whole time, I was happy painting this the whole time, going like, yeah, this is really cool, but at the same time, I'm like,
what if he hates
I'm
birds?
Like, man, yeah, I don't know. We've never had a discussion about birds before. I don't know how you feel about them. Yeah. So.
Well, it has giant talons down here, so that's the main thing. You probably thought about that
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I think like okay. when like I was sitting. Well, the best part was is I think we were literally watching the boys, and I was sitting on the other side of the couch of you drawing, and I was like, I don't know, birds, talons. Oh yeah, talons.
Like, yeah, that makes
like,
sense.
As I was doing it, I was like, "Oh, okay, hold on. Now I got an idea." And
yeah,
which made it very difficult to not just be like, "Hey, what do you think of this?"
Yeah,
you know, like,
yeah. So I gave you. I had no idea what it was going to be. I was like, "Yeah, you have complete creative freedom. Do whatever." And I mean, it looks so sick, especially with like some accents around it.
Yeah.
But it's all framed out with this like, I don't know what you consider like the thorn ring around it, but
I call it like fire. It's like heavily, I would say it's heavily influenced by like traditional Japanese tattoo fire.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate I was having a very hard time getting a picture of the like the different tones of red through that fire. But
yeah, and
it
changes, it,
really cool.
It changes in different lights. It looks really cool. And then for people who aren't watching right now, the whole circle around this thing he painted, but then laid gold leaf on it. So it has this kind of like texture to it, and it like shimmers in different lights, and it's dope.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan.
I learned a pretty valuable lesson that I actually hate gold leaf, and I will, if I ever do use it again, it will be in very small pieces. It's so difficult to actually like move from the sheet to the wall with, because it sticks to your fingers or static.
I've seen people use a paintbrush.
After the fact, my friend was like, oh, I use like fanned out brushes and I carry it. I was like, oh, that would have been really cool to know.
Yeah. Cool. All right, so back to tattoos. What was your first tattoo? How old were you? What is it? Is it still there? Is it covered? Lasered?
That one is still there. I skipped school on my 18th birthday, and I got Tengwar cursive, which is the Elvish writing from Lord of the Rings,
okay,
around my elbow. And I thought I was like, I mean, I am so cool for getting that.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings.
I thought I was so
tight.
Cool.
First off, I still back that. Lord of the Ring rips. But yeah, like I was like the only kid in my school with a tattoo, you know, and like it was a the artist who did it, I'm from a very small town in Wisconsin, and there was one tattoo artist there who was like only like kind of part-time tattooer, really. Okay. Like I guess she probably didn't have another job, but like you never knew if she was going to be at the studio or not.
You just hope that walk in and get
and
something.
And you like bring in something for her. She's not going to draw it. You know?
Okay.
So I like
print it out on computer paper.
I had it like I like cut out each piece individually like it was a ransom note and like made it a circle and was like, here.
I'm doing something.
Yeah, I was like, I'm an artist. And then yeah, so she did that, and then. Yeah, I remember going to school like the next day and people being like, whoa, you got ink, dude? And I was like, yeah.
You're the tattoo guy now.
Cool. What's funny is like I've never drank or smoked or anything like that. I'm not like what you would in high school consider to be like rebellious. I was in like a punk band and I had a tattoo.
Yeah.
And in my school, senior year, I was voted the most, I think most rebellious is what it was. And I was like,
really?
I was like, because I have a tattoo. like that's like the one thing you could kind of consider.
Yeah.
I guess rebellious, but.
I guess. I mean, the tattoo artist stigma thing too has changed quite a lot over the years.
Yes, for sure.
Like I so many artists I know, like actually I think, so I have art from like three main artists. And then my very first tattoo was from someone else, but I don't think any, like, you don't drink, Milo doesn't drink, and the guy who did my arms, shout out to T Mills, he doesn't drink, no smoking, alcohol, drugs, nothing like that.
That's very interesting, because that's not, I mean, like, it's not unheard of course, but, like, I wouldn't think that's the norm. I don't think I know many other tattooers personally who, like, you know, maybe they don't drink a lot or anything like that, but, like, it's pretty rare, I feel like.
But, like, a long time ago, it was always like tattoos were associated with like bikers drinking, smoking, all this stuff, drugs. But obviously, that has completely changed, and I think is continuing to change with
absolutely
how many artists are out there.
And that's we've talked about this before. Like I'm a mentor for Big Brother Big Sister, and part of the reason I did that was because looking like I do, I was like I want to be a positive face out there in like the world to kids and like families and stuff like that. Be like, oh, they're not all pirates, you know, like some of them are just like cool, just chill dudes who want to go like play golf or whatever, you know.
Yeah. And then I mean, once you get heavily tattooed, like, actually that's a good question, what, and we probably agree on this, but what would you consider being heavily tattooed?
Oh,
like coverage, like percentage, actually, or
that's hard. Because, like, there's different variations of it. You know, have you heard the term Warped Tour bodysuit?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, for those of you who don't know, a Warped Tour bodysuit is, like, if you got your hands and your neck tattooed, but you maybe don't have your arms. Like, maybe you have sleeves, but, like, nothing else under your shirt. Nothing. You only go for the visible tattoos first.
Call them tatfish.
Yeah. I've never heard that
just,
term,
just a
actually.
Big blast on your neck and then nothing when you pull your t-shirt down.
That's a good term for it. Yeah, that's where it breaks down, is, like, what's actual coverage and what's visible coverage. Like, if you – because, like, to the general public, it's still the same. Mm-hmm. If you go out in public and your neck and hands are tattooed, you look heavily tattooed.
For sure.
Vice versa. Like, and then I think, like, in a situation like you, yes, of course you have your sleeves, but, like, I think it's so cool and impressive when you do take off, like, your shirt for something and it's like, boof, you're just like – it looks like you have a shirt on still.
Yeah, yeah.
That's heavy coverage. Like, to me, is when it's, like, it can be a surprise. You know what I mean? Like,
for sure.
For me, when I finally felt heavily covered was when, like, at some point, I don't know, I got out of the shower or something and looked in the mirror, and you end up looking at the negative spaces more than the tattoo.
Yeah.
Because those become more prominent to your eye, you know?
You and I talk about that a lot with, like, you. So Jonathan has put a huge torso piece on me, like, from my neckline down to my belt line, and we're working on my back now, which goes from like top of my neck down to basically like onto my butt, and it almost meets up with my leg. And I'll look at myself like getting out of the shower, I'm like, damn, I got a big open spot right there.
Yeah. And that's it feels almost like a semi body dysmorphia kind of a situation that, like, you just look and you're like, why do I see the one, and it might be the smallest piece. Like, you couldn't even fit a nice tattoo there, but you're just like, oh, fuck, what am I going to do about this spot?
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, it's a battle for me as a tattooer and as someone who gets tattooed, because, like, when a client is like, yeah, look at this one little spot, you're like, how are we gonna, I don't know what we're going to do to fill that. And in a case like you, where it's like, we have the front and the back, and we have a little bit of space on one side and a little more on the other rib. It's like, okay, on one side, on the open rib, of course I can figure something out. But yeah, on that other one, it's like,
do we just do background in
yeah,
there?
Exactly. Like, what do you even do here?
Yeah. And luckily, like, the subject matter on both my front and back kind of relate and match. So it'll be easy to fill in. But yeah. So what do you consider your style of tattoo? Because I would call it, well, let's see what you call it.
I assume it's pretty much just neo-traditional. You know, we follow like the rules of traditional tattooing, where there are like heavy lines. We want to have like a good amount of black, and we want to have our I do color mostly. Mm-hmm. And then I like to leave some skin as well, which are generally like the tenements of a traditional tattoo, but I'm not doing like Sailor Jerry Flash redraws or anything like that.
Right.
It's like custom stuff. So I think I would just generalize it. You know, it becomes one of those things like, let's put a genre to every type of metal. And it's like, we got black metal, sludge, you know?
Yeah. You have these like little like minute tweaks. And
if
stuff.
You're going to just simplify it, I think it's just like neo-traditional.
Is that, would you, obviously that's what you tattoo probably the most. You do other things too. Like, you've done black and gray pieces.
Yeah,
you've done it all.
And I've done like portraits and stuff, but
yeah,
that's like, if you just put me with my drawing pad on a couch and I had a book on or something like that, like, I'm going to just naturally draw a neo-traditional kind of thing, because it's just like how I know how to draw.
Yeah. And some of the portraits too, like, I know you, I found you as kind of like the neo-trad, like kind of similar to the style that I already had, and I wanted to continue that. And then I probably saw some portraits that you've done. You've done like people's faces and you've done pets. And I remember like looking at one recently, the Anthony Bourdain one that you did.
Yeah.
Milo and I were talking about that, and I was like, holy shit, like, that's it. Because it's one, it's a really good portrait, but you put different elements of art into it, like with the plane.
Yeah,
and
put,
like,
yeah, try to like do some stuff that like indicated he was a traveler, like, you know.
Yeah,
that was, I think the client who came to me on that one, like, I believe, I know they said they wanted Anthony Bourdain, of course, and I think they even said something about like maybe about travel or food, like something that would like
food,
yeah, like something that makes you think of him, you know. And
yeah,
like, I always think of him as travel. Of course I think of him as food, like with food, because who doesn't? But like, you know, I've watched videos of him traveling places where I know I'm going to go, so I can be like, how's he doing that, you know? Like, so to me it was always more of a travel show than, and like a lifestyle show than food for me. So that's just what I thought of.
Yeah, there's a huge travel element to that. Well, I guess speaking of travel, so the way Jonathan and I met was, I was thinking about it. It's almost like 2.5 years ago. It's when I first like reached out to you on Instagram. So I moved to Denver because I've been in Denver probably like 3.5 years now, and I knew I was going to live here. This is before I even had this house. I needed to find a new tattoo artist. So long story short, found an artist, gave him my concept. He was like, too big for me. Here's some other people. And I found your Instagram, and I messaged you. I was like, hey, man, this is what I want to do. And at the time, I wanted to tie together my shoulders, just like chest piece straight across, the pecs and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And you messaged me back. You're like, oh, yeah, that's tight. It'd be a lot cooler if you just did your whole torso, your stomach, and blast over your nipples and everything.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so I always think of tattoos in three sections. It's like, what is a tattoo like this close?
Yep.
What is a tattoo like across a room, and what could a tattoo be like across the street? And like, I've always been very drawn to that, like, oversized. I want to be able to read it from all three. So like, the concept of doing just a chest has always been like annoying. I guess maybe it comes from like the amount of chests I've had to add to or cover.
Yeah.
Because people get like the chest rocker, and then later and are like, oh
chest,
you know,
rockers.
Yeah, talk about dating yourself, eh? But you know, someone comes in with their favorite lyrics to a band on their chest, and then they're like, I want to cover this. And like the important part about a cover up is not really covering. It's about distracting, right? Mm-hmm. So then you always end up doing a full torso anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know. For me, it's always the back and the front are like two, your best, cleanest, flattest areas. Like I hate breaking it up.
Yeah. And I'm glad you mentioned that because like I kind of had an idea, like I really appreciate art. That's the reason I have tattoos in the first place. Like everyone is getting tattoos because, oh, this is my grandmother's heartbeat, yeah, her last heartbeat. And I'm like, okay, like not everything needs to have meaning. So my very first tattoo, I have on my rib cage, that has meaning. This whole arm kind of has a little bit of meaning. And then by the time we got to my left arm, my torso, back leg, nothing really has meaning. I'm just like, dope art. It's cool.
That's a battle I always deal with clients. And like, I never want to like, if someone comes to me and tells me something has a meaning, I'm not like, no, I'm not doing that.
That sounds dumb. Yeah. Tell someone else.
But like, I guess the challenge that I like to present to clients is like, could you tell me something that has meant the same to you for 10 years?
Yeah.
Like even family, I mean like everything changes, like all those relationships, interpersonal relationships, and I mean relationships with religion, all that stuff all changes. So like to me, when you're getting those like really like very meaningful tattoos, like I'm in my head, I'm just like, this is meaningful right now, but it doesn't necessarily mean this is going to be meaningful forever. And like a juxtaposition to that is like, if you had like, you know, a Van Gogh or Monet in your house, I wouldn't walk in and go like, what does that mean to you? Yeah. I would just be like, wow, that's really beautiful. So like, I'm always leaning towards like, not, I don't want to say pressuring clients, but like, I'm always trying to like guide clients to be like, hey, like it doesn't have, every part of this doesn't have to mean something, you know, like we can get away with just making it cool.
Yeah. And I can kind of tell like someone's personal relationship with tattoos based off of like how they speak to me. They're like, oh, cool art, I got this and that. And immediately I'm like, oh God, I don't want to be in
like,
this
you want to hear my other idea?
Yeah. I thought about getting tattoos one time. And I'm like, oh, sick, dude. Yeah. And I feel like most people who've been doing it for a long time are like that. I've been getting tattoos. My first tattoo, I was 16. And then I started my sleeve, like I was in my 20s. So I had a big break there.
Yeah.
Since then, I've been getting tattooed and healing tattoos like pretty much every freaking month.
I mean, since I've known you, at one point it was just me, but then adding Milo to it too. I mean, like
I get impatient.
Yeah. It was almost a joke to be like, oh cool. Like I'm tattooing you now. When does Milo tattoo you next? Yeah. And you're like, oh, in a week. I'm just like,
Milo tattoos me next week, actually.
Of course. So I just tattooed you a couple days ago.
Last Friday. Yeah. Less than a week ago.
Yeah.
But that's another story, I guess. Maybe for another time.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
You said you started getting tattooed at 16.
Yeah.
What age do you think people should have to be to get tattooed?
I mean, I feel like you can do whatever you want. It's your body. Cool.
Sure.
I think the way things are right now, like most shops will say, unless you're 18, parental guardian should sign for you. I think that's very smart. But then even when you're 18, I feel like when I was 18, if I just wanted to get blasted with tattoos, I probably would have done some pretty horrendous stuff.
I had band logos.
Band logos. Like, and sometimes people get those and they're sick. Like I see a lot of people with like a themed leg sleeve and it's like a Nintendo controller and Pokemon and whatever.
Sure. It is possible.
But to answer the question, like again, do whatever you want. That's cool. But if it were me talking to my younger self, I feel like I did it at a good speed. So first tattoo was 16. That one is different off the books. And then, maybe 21. 21 is when you can probably start thinking more clearly. Your brain.
Exactly. That's my point. Like the amount of tattoos I've done on 18-year-olds where I just go like, are you really sure about this? Like sometimes, not to say all of them, that's obviously a generalization, but like I could tell you, I worked in Phoenix for a long time, right? And in Phoenix, you only have to be 16 with parental consent. I think that's the same in Colorado. I don't tattoo anyone under 18, period. I don't care where I'm at. Mm-hmm. But in Phoenix, I remember this woman young woman came in. I believe she was 16 years old. She was dating an 18-year-old or 17, almost 18-year-old, who was about to join the Navy and leave.
Oh, gosh.
And she got an anchor on her, on the back of her neck, that said, like, I don't remember if it was his name or his initials, in, but like, it had, like, a heart and stuff like that. And I was, I remember going, like, are you sure you want to do this? And this is very early into me tattooing, where, like, I didn't have the clientele or ability to just be like, nope, I don't care. Yeah. Get on out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I do that now, but, you know. And I was like, are you sure? Like, we could put it, we could do it without the writing. It could just be an anchor.
Yeah.
Better, symbolizes better it, you know. It's whatever, just in case something goes wrong. And the mom, I remember the mom being behind her, and the mom just goes, it's okay. They are so in love. And I was like, oh. I go, they are so teenagers. Ugh. Like, I don't care how in love they are. They are so teenagers. And, like, I, like, it's things like that where I'm just like, your brain just doesn't work all the way yet. Like,
yeah, your brain's not fully developed until you're supposedly 25.
So, yeah, and, like, I mean, that's not even – that's – yes, brain is one thing. But also, I'm like, when you're 18, do you got – you got money for real, like, good tattoos, or are you just getting tattooed?
That's,
you know?
That's another thing, yeah, too. You should definitely, like, I understand wanting to get maybe your first tattoo, or you have a tattoo and you want to get more tattoos. I can't stress this enough, and it makes so much sense. Everyone generally agrees, but save money. If that's really your goal, make sure you are going to a good artist. Don't get a tattoo just because this dude's doing them for whatever. $200 for a day.
Yeah, like, and, like, now there's, what was it called? Imbecile style? Ignorant style, I just recently found out is a thing.
Dude, so many people are getting ignorant style tattoos.
It's so frustrating, because if it were any other industry, like, if I were a cabinet builder and you hired me to come to your house and build you kitchen cabinets and I put it together and it was crooked and the doors didn't shut all the way, I couldn't just be like, yeah, man, that's the ignorant style of interior decoration. Like, that's just not how it works. Like, so it's so frustrating that people took their inability and then gave it a catchy title and are like, no, it's sick. Like,
and people are, like, making careers out of it, which, like, more power to you, but, man. So for those that don't know, ignorant style basically looks like me, who's not a super talented drawer or artist or anything. I'm right-handed. If I took a pen in my left hand and drew something on someone's skin, like, and it's the
and
dumbest
only some
shit.
Of it is actually in the skin.
It's like, here's a Humpty Dumpty egg sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
And the chair is going to fall over. But it's, like, scratchy and lines aren't straight. It's just...
What is interesting is this is cyclical. There's actually, like, this has happened before. Like, just a few years ago, actually, which is what's funny, is there was a guy, specifically one dude I can recall named Sean from Texas, is, like, what he went by. And he did, like, that was his shtick. He did, like, bad tattoos. And they were, like, really, like, it'd be, like, you know, I don't know, a stick figure holding a flower, and it said, like, I want to die. He was like, who got that tattooed? Like, listen, I'm of the opinion that tattoos don't need to mean anything. We've already established that.
Yeah.
However, we also established they should at least look cool.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just going to get chicken scratch, it's like...
And I understand, too, like, I thought about, I'm already going to start a big piece on my right leg, but I thought about using one big open canvas as, like, a party leg or a party canvas.
I did that, and it's, I don't know.
You regret it?
I don't.
Like your torso or
no,
your leg?
No, my, the top of my left leg is actually people who don't tattoo. Like, all my friends who don't tattoo. Tattoo me, like, my brothers, like, and it's always, like, interpersonal stories, like, it, like, stupid things, like,
yeah,
like, my brother, at one point when we were young, I threw a shovel into the back of his leg, because he had pushed me into a snake, so he, and the snake bit me, great story,
great story,
and I javelin chucked a shovel, and it stuck, like, cut the back of his leg, he had to get a bunch of stitches, So he did a little shovel with a blood drop on me, and it's tiny, you know,
yeah. That stuff, I can appreciate that.
It's fun. Yeah. I like it. But, like, once again, when I get out of the shower and I'm looking at my body that is mostly covered in really nice tattoos and I see this leg of essentially, you know, ignorant style tattoos before that was a thing. I just looked down and I'm like, what the fuck?
Damn.
That was like, stupid. This is a huge canvas. Laser. I could have done something great.
You could laser stuff.
Oh, man, I've lasered 8 pieces, and I'll tell you what, that is the devil. It's awful.
Hurts?
Yeah, it's like being snapped with a rubber band that's made out of, like, lava. It, like, snaps you and burns you. They've gotten a lot better since, like, the very first one I got done. Like, around it was just bruised. I looked like I was hit by an actual vehicle. It was like, and then on top of it, if you've seen Planet Terror, you know, where all the, like, the zombies in that are, like, pustules, that's what my arm looked like, too.
Just heals like that.
It was pretty funny, though, because the next day, it was at a shop that I was guesting at in Australia, and I came in the next day, and I was like, yo, how do I take care of this? This is, like, this looks bad. And the guy's like, just go jump in the ocean. And I was like, haha, very funny. Like,
don't do
thought
that.
I thought he was messing with me. I was like, okay, sure. The next day, it's still just, like, it's getting worse. The pustules are getting bigger. And I was like, this is appalling. And it feels like it's on fire. He's like, did you jump in the ocean? I was like, no, I didn't jump in the ocean. He goes like, dude, the salt water will dry it out. Go do it. And I was like, okay. And I did it. And I swear to God, like the next day it was like dried out. I was like, oh.
I mean, I guess that's
Australian medicine is what that is.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't recommend that. Like, definitely don't swim with a new tattoo. But
No. Don't do that.
I've never got anything lasered, but.
Oh, don't.
I don't think, like, luckily when I started getting, like, more heavily tattooed, like, doing really big pieces, like we just talked about, like, doesn't really have meaning. I think it'll be cool. I'm never going to be like, oh, I wish I didn't get that thing on me.
If it's good, I just don't think you will.
Yeah.
Like, the only time at this point in my life, the only thing I really regret, I don't like regret getting cool tattoos. Only thing I ever regret is placement. Like, if I did something where I'm like, well, that's kind of in the way for other stuff. Like, I'm currently lasering my back. I have like 4 or 5 pieces on my back being lasered. And it's because, like, I ruined this giant perfect canvas and I want a whole back piece. So
I find myself like, I obviously completely understand that. And I often talk to like friends and whoever, they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to get this tattoo. And they're like, I'm going to get it like here on my forearm. I'm like, but what about everything else around it? They're like, oh, I don't know. I might like fill it in the future. And I'm like, just do the whole thing in one continuous piece.
And it's kind of like what we were saying with like when you initially just wanted your shoulders connected or whatever.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
It's the same thing. The amount of people who come to me and say, I just want a half sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, no, you don't.
I think when I was in the process of getting my next big piece tattoo, I didn't want to. Like, I didn't really know at the time, like, what was acceptable. I didn't want to be like, yo, I just want to blast the whole front of my body, which is completely okay. An artist like you, you'd be like, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it.
Yeah. I'm like, the bigger, the better. Do you want to go down your legs, too?
Yeah. But I just got turned away from this artist who was like, oh, it's too big for me. I can't do that. And I was like, oh, okay.
Which is like, you know what? In a way, I understand and respect that, like, know your boundaries, you know, like,
sure.
if someone came to me and was like, I want really pretty flowing script, I'd say like, that's not my thing.
Yeah.
Like, so I think there is a little bit of good for them for saying no, if they weren't comfortable with it, like, you know, it might put you and them in a situation where no one's happy with that tattoo at the end. So like, listen to your artists. If they say they're not like, they don't want to do that, don't, it's not a challenge. Don't be like, oh, you're not good enough, which literally happens. People do that kind of stuff all the time. Like, if you're like, actually, that's not a very good idea, they'll be like, I just wanted to see if you could do something outside of your box. And it's like, why?
Is
like,
this Ink Master?
Yeah,
like, what the fuck,
like,
are we doing?
The goal here?
Here
is to give you the best tattoo that we can both be happy about, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. Dang, what was I going to say? So Jonathan and I, that conversation between like talking about the first piece was, I think, over 2.5 years ago, because we then tattooed basically one session a month on my full torso. We finished that over a year ago now, I think.
Really?
Or no, I don't know.
We probably got it done in about Generally, a piece like that we want done in about a year. So
your books weren't open yet at the time. So that conversation happened like a year before you even started the tattoo. Yeah. And then finished that tattoo immediately, like the next month we started on the back, which is cool.
Well, that's the best part about getting a cool relationship with your artist is that most of them, I can't speak for everyone here, but most of them, if you finish one large piece, it's pretty easy to be like, anyway, should we just continue? I don't know. I don't think I know anyone who has a really good relationship with a client who would turn them down and be like, no, you have to wait another year or two to get on the books again. I would much rather work with people who I'm already comfortable with.
Yeah. You know how the client sits, what they're about, if you have similar interests or whatever. So that totally makes sense.
And I'm pretty particular about the interactions with my clients, I tend to listen to headphones the whole time I tattoo. And I want someone who can come in, I can have a good chat with before we start tattooing. And then once the tattoo starts, it's you focus on sitting through this. I'm going to focus on making this happen. And afterwards, if you want to go grab lunch or something, I'm happy to do that. But I really think that during the tattoo, it's the best result is if we're not having a full conversation.
Right.
And I think a lot of those, I guess they're older tattoo shows at this point, but was it LA Ink and stuff that? It was always about the story of the artist and client talking. And it's it kind of put a weird precedent on it. I don't really want to know all about your life.
I think when I was booking with you too, that was one thing that your assistant even said. They're like, Jonathan likes to listen to music and books in his headphones, so bring headphones. I was okay, cool. But then after getting tattooed a million times, we became friends. And
whatever. I don't even think I had my headphones in last session. Yeah.
Well, even now, we're homies and we have a lot to talk about. Obviously, we're doing a fucking podcast together. But there'll be times where I'll just lay there for an hour and fight off the urge to jump out a window and you're just going away talking to other people in the shop, whatever.
Yeah, it's a challenge to get tattooed on big pieces. You always hear people being like, oh, I think tattoos feel good, and it's their tattoos are always tiny.
Your adrenaline
is going, you're coursing with adrenaline. Of course you think they feel good. Your brain is drugging you to make you think everything's cool.
Yeah.
Sit for 5 hours, it is a genuine challenge, and I applaud anyone who does it, because at the end of one of those, we've gone to battle, it's not just a monetary commitment. It is, I try to tell everyone in these large pieces, before we start, hey, you're buying a used car and you're gonna go through hell, there are gonna be days where you wake up and the last thing you want to do is get tattooed. And I start early, I start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that's...
So you're literally starting your day with punishment.
Because I've been getting tattooed so much and I've been healing, healing is worse than getting tattooed.
I agree.
Most of the time. The back heals pretty well because you don't move it a ton and whatever.
I think there's natural exfoliation on the back of your shirt as well, throughout it.
That's true too. But I lost my train of thought, but I was going to ask, what is your least favorite place to get tattooed yourself? Because for anyone who's not tattooed, if you're still watching this, congrats, I guess.
Weird. Why?
But everyone's pain threshold is different no matter where you're getting tattooed. Color versus black and gray, all that stuff matters. Color work sucks, by the way, because you're getting so heavily saturated. If I got only black and gray, my whole body would be covered already.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes on the rare occasion that I do black and gray, I did a sleeve not too long ago, last year, of black and gray sleeve. And I'm
you smash it out in two sessions.
Yeah, I gave him the whole spiel. I'm like, just so you know, this is going to probably take this long. And I think and the dude's big. And it's five sessions. And I was
We're done.
It's great knowing you, dude.
Yeah.
I'll see you later.
So tattoos hurt in different places for different reasons. For different people, what's your least favorite or some of your least favorite places to get tattooed?
I have my cuticles tattooed, and that felt like actual torture, obviously.
On your fingernails?
Yeah,
on the
top of it.
Okay,
that was horrendous. Palm is like tattooing your soul.
I feel like that's a very common one that most people will say is awful. Like,
because that's not a normal tattoo. You're not just putting a line in. It's a controlled blowout, essentially. You're literally going deeper than you're supposed to because your hands exfoliate so much naturally.
Yeah.
You need to be able to, like, be under that. Mm-hmm. So it's horrendous. I know people who have actual, like, nerve damage. Like, years later, like, if you give them a high five, they're like, ooh, like, it feels like a shock because of it. As far as, like, normative places on the body that hurt a lot, I think that, like, this little dip, like, on that might be the only spot on my whole body that I ever...
So that's, like, between your collarbones for no one.
Yeah, yeah. It might... Listening. Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Like, right below your neck, yeah, like, that was maybe the only spot on my body that I stopped the artist, and I went and, like, looked in the mirror and was like, what? Like, it felt like he was on my throat. And then when I got my neck done, I expected it to feel like that.
Yeah.
And it didn't. Like, my neck was significantly easier than that. And then lastly, and this is one that I can attest to on every one of my clients who I do a whole back on, like, the tailbone / under butt. Like, either of those places, like, near the butt, I don't care who you are, you squirm when that happens. Like, you will naturally start to pull away.
And your body sometimes too, like, especially, like, when you're down there, like, on the lower part of my back, or when I was getting, like, right under my butt done, your body's moving, like, you're trying to sit still, but you'll just, like, twitch. And like, you're like, oh, sorry, dude, I did, like, I'm trying to sit still. And it's not that it really hurts so much, but, like, the needle just coming to your skin when you're not expecting it just, like, jars you.
When I got my butt done, I was – every time he'd, like, start lining, I would just tense up as hard as – like, harder than I thought I could.
Yeah.
So I remember at one point I was like, I'm going to, like, flex. I'm going to tense as hard as I can before you start tattooing. So then I don't have anywhere to go.
Yeah.
I like, tensed up as hard as I could, and the moment he touched me, I still tensed up harder. Even harder. I was like, wait, I didn't even know I could do that. You know, like, it's tough. That's a rough spot.
Yeah, and it's – oh, man.
Not easy to heal either.
No.
Because anytime you're moving your leg, every time you sit down, it's stretching that skin, you know?
Yeah. I don't know if they're, like, the worst places for me, but you tattooed me in that, like, kind of throat spot, and – I remember you telling me what you just said. You're like, dude, if you ever get your neck done, which I don't really plan on doing that, at least right now, you're like, the neck was honestly easier for me than that little, like, hole in your throat.
And funny enough, I don't know, whatever. I'm not a wordologist. The closer to the front of my neck was easier. Like, the further it went back, the more it hurt, actually.
I always, like, whenever I'm thinking about getting tattooed somewhere, I, like, poke myself and, like, scratch. I'm like,
everyone does. Yeah. I'll be like, we're going to go here, and people just pinch it. I'm like, it's going to feel different.
It's going to hurt a lot more than that. But
The thing about the neck is, like, yes, of course it hurts. It doesn't feel great, but it's just so incredibly vulnerable feeling. Like, a very good friend of mine did my neck, and still, like, the whole time you're like, am I allowed to breathe? What should I do with, like, my spit?
Pushing on your head.
Yeah, they're and... like, yeah, they're, it's like being, like, cutting the blood flow off as they're pushing on your, like, throat. And you're like, I'm a little into this, but.
Brutal.
No, it's like, yeah, it's really, like, terrifying. Like, the whole time I'm like, I don't know. And, like, my buddy Adam, who did mine, literally, like, was talking to me. Well, he'd be like, it's like, anyway, so, yeah, I was doing this thing, and I'm like,
you're like,
cool, dude. Cool. This is, I'm very comfortable right now. Like, yeah, you're just, it's terrifying. So, like, even if you, that's not a painful spot, but it is a terrifying spot.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll ever get anything done there. I'm not going to say never, but nipples, generally people say, they're like, oh, nipples are so bad, but you went over, like, not complete blackout of mine, but I definitely have, like, my nipples done. And I didn't think, like, maybe I set my expectation really high, like, oh, this is going to suck. But a lot of stuff on the front. I always tell people, like, where your rib cage falls off into your stomach, like, going from hard to squishy, that kind of hurts.
I also actually, not in terms of pain or anything, that's my least favorite spot to tattoo.
There's
nothing behind it.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask that too. Like, nothing behind that, and, like, heads probably suck to tattoo.
No, heads are awesome.
Are they?
They're stretched already. They're so stretched.
Oh, okay.
The only thing you have to pay attention to with a head is, like, the way that the hair is growing. So you don't want to, even though you shave it, obviously, not even tattooing, wiping. Oh. It'll shred a paper towel if I go against the grain of your hair. So like you just kind of, you do your tattoo and then you always just try to wipe with the hair.
Okay, that makes sense.
They're super fun to tattoo. People hate getting them, of course, but like they're stretch. You could tattoo with one hand on that one. And then there's a lot of natural oils there, so they heal really easily too. Like people notoriously have nice heels on their head because it's not that hard to take care of.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that would have been hard to tattoo, but I guess
it's awkward.
Yeah. Ribs and butts definitely got to be difficult.
Oh, yeah. Ribs and butts are awful too.
Ribs because, I mean, it's hard but sometimes squishy and then people are moving a lot.
And the skin moves on top of a rib really easily. So like when you're trying to stretch, it slides, you know, like if you if you grab your rib, you can pull that skin 2-3 inches around it. Yeah. So like when you're tattooing and having to deal with that, that can be hard if you're trying, especially if it's like a smooth curvature or something like that. You're like, this is awful.
And then I think, speaking of like stuff, places that suck, I think, any kind of ditch kind of sucked for me, like arm ditch. I mean, now that I've have tattoos basically everywhere, I would get my arm ditches tattooed 100 times before I do like my whole stomach
all day
for sure.
I'd do my arms 3 times.
They do suck to heal though, and anywhere you bend, like the back, I only had one kind of like poor heel on the back of my leg. It's in my knee ditch on that tendon on like the inside. And it's just, there's nothing you can do. You got to walk around. So
I think what people don't really consider, like arm ditch, I think your arm is probably more likely. By the way, the ditch is like the front part of your elbow. If you're not watching, it's like between your forearm and the bicep.
I just assume people know what. But
sometimes I say ditch, and people are like, "Huh?
Where's that? Do I have one of those?"
Like, does everybody have a ditch? So a hard part with that is like it can heal to itself.
Yeah, if you're bent.
Yeah, if you slept with your arm bent. The skin, I mean, there's all that plasma being pushed to it, so like it will heal to itself, and in the morning when you wake up and you open it, it can peel it right back open. And that's, I think that's traditionally why people have a hard time healing that. And I think that's probably pretty similar with your knee. I mean, even just sitting, your knee is bent, you know what I mean? Like unless you're laying prone all the time.
The tattoo, we touched it up and it's fine. It just got like a little scabby, but like sitting how I am right now, I'm sitting on a bar stool and my knees are like, they're touching essentially, like the back of my thighs almost touching my calf. So it's not a good way to heal tattoos.
Anywhere like that does that, or anything that has a lot of movement in general. I think one of the hardest heals I ever had on my body was like on the outside of my chest above the armpit.
Yeah.
Just because like anytime you move your arm, that stretches so much, you know? It was very difficult for me, like, especially cause I was already tattooing at that point.
Oh,
so like anytime I'm trying to stretch someone's skin,
you're stretching yourself,
stretching my own skin.
Yeah. So back to the original story, got tattooed by Jonathan. We became friends over like the past 2 years or whatever it's been. And then, we would hang out outside of getting tattooed. We would go get food and do stuff. Actually, that goes back to, so we're both in our 30s, and it's hard to find friends in your 30s who want to do fun stuff that doesn't involve drinking all the time, going to bars, alcohol, and stuff like that. And I don't know what the first thing you did. I was like talking about an escape room or something. And
you're
like, dude, I fuck with escape rooms. Let's do that.
Escape rooms rip.
So we started hanging out a bunch because it's cool to have someone that you can hang out with where you don't have to go to a bar all the time.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I, of course, still enjoy that from time to time, but it's easier to hang out and do fun stuff when you're not doing that.
Yeah, I just like, I think that there's people become adults and then are just like, oh yeah, this is what we're supposed to do for a good time now. And like, I don't know, I don't drink. I'm sure it is a good time sometimes, but like, so is riding scooters around and like doing escape rooms and just going and being gluttonous and eating way too much food.
Playing laser tag, dude.
Yeah, laser tag, arcades, like bowling. That's all fun. Like, I don't know why people are so like against that. I don't, as adults, unless they have kids, those are the only people who you can usually be like, you want to go to the arcade? And they're like, cool. Yeah. My kid would love that. I'm like, maybe leave your kid home. Actually,
yeah.
Like, I'm home. Trying to party, bro.
Going to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah,
dog.
Dude.
So I mean, we have a lot of similar interest. And then at one point, Jonathan was like, actually, I need to preface this even more. Jonathan has some pets. He has a huge Great Dane known as Tengu. You guys may have seen him like on my Instagram or something before. He has a cat named Vincent. And you travel a lot for tattooing.
Yeah.
So Ashley, of course, my girlfriend, loves dogs. And something came up. I was like, Ashley would probably watch your dog.
Yeah. I actually don't know how that happened.
I think you came over here one summer and we were like cooking steaks or something. And you brought Tengu to hang out with Camber.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, let's have a dog party. Cool. And then
Yeah.
Ashley was like, oh, Tengu's so great. Like, I'll watch him whenever.
Yes.
So we watch Tengu quite often, and because you travel a lot, we were watching Tengu, and you were like, all right, I want to get to a point now where I can travel with the boys. I'm going to build a van. So you built a self-converted Dodge ProMaster.
Yeah.
And the plan originally was build that thing out, travel between here. Oh, we didn't even talk about the church. Oh, man,
we got so sidetracked.
We could talk about all sorts of stuff.
It's a long episode now.
Yeah, we can just keep it rolling. Doesn't matter. You wanted to travel with the boys, so you built out this van, and you were planning on leaving Denver to go somewhere else, which we can talk about in a second, like 2 months ago.
Yeah. Maybe three. I'll give you the whole rundown. I bought an old church in a small rural town in Indiana, and I have been converting that into a house for the last like year and a half. I've never been a planner in my whole life. I don't plan things. I don't think I ever have. And for the first time in my life, I was like, you know what? I'm going to be proactive and I'm going to plan. I'm going to get this van. I'm going to build it out. Actually, even before that, I borrowed your old Sprinter for a road trip as a test to see if this would like work.
That was before you even bought a van. That's
right. that was my test run to see if that was something I would be okay with. And I brought my cat and my dog with me on that trip. It was dope. I was like, yes, that confirmed it. I'm going to build this van. So I do all my research. I end up getting the ProMaster because the way I could lay out my bed, blah, 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 blah.
There's a lot of reasons, but yeah.
Get the ProMaster. I did all this planning. I built the whole thing out. And then every single plan I made fell apart. And
Because of the van.
3 days into like living in the van, I was on my way to work and the transmission blew. Now it's been in the shop for 2 months. I actually got a phone call today.
Okay. And
hot news here, guys. They said after I've escalated it now, I have called the dealer, I've called Ram itself, I've escalated the whole thing. They finally told me they should have the parts on Friday, and it should be done by the 16th. The funny part about that is I leave on Saturday. I leave in 2 days. So like once again, the van plan fell apart. It's just like that whole project, it was so fun to do. I had a blast doing it, and I'm very happy with the way it turned out. But like every step of that process failed, and it led to me living at Talent's house.
Yeah. So Jonathan has been my roommate for the past little while now.
Yeah.
Which has been rad. Like I've had other friends stay here too, and it just happens to be it's always someone who's a creative type of person. Which is rad.
I think that works. I think you probably surround yourself with that type of people generally, though, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do. Like most of my friends are either like business owners or some type of creative. That never like a tattoo artist. Yeah. Like, but it's cool because we can talk about like I can talk to you about videos I'm doing. You can talk to me about tattoos you're making, mm-hmm. and like it kind of relates in a way. It just keeps like it keeps the creativity going.
Yeah, absolutely. I think having that like. You know, that's a common theme in tattooing. Like a lot of people will go try to open their own studio, and you can almost always see someone drop off a little bit in like in creativity when that happens, because it's good to have people to bounce stuff off of. And like even in a different media, like if I see you doing something or a different medium, if I see you doing something, I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool actually. And then like you've given me ideas about how to, like I said before, I'm not very good at posting on Instagram, but Talon has like kind of made me, he got a new camera and I was like, oh, I'm going to get that camera. And it got me excited to like make videos. So fingers crossed, I actually post some stuff. And that's because I was inspired to like make videos by being around you making videos. So I think that that happens naturally with any sort of creativity, really, right?
So that kind of leads into, I guess, like your plan now. Once, like, regardless of the van might just go away at this point for all we know.
The van might go away. I mean, honestly, like, it's unfortunate, but I think it has, like, left a bit of a bitter taste in my mouth. Like,
for sure.
Like,
I would be livid if I were you.
Just every single thing going wrong with it after that much time and effort. And, like, and it was in an expedited fashion, too, right? Because, like, so my house here in Denver was getting torn down. And so I had to be out by this date. So I got this van. I, like, every day after work, came home, worked on the van, like, converted the whole thing myself, like, did this whole thing, planning on going to the church. The church has had some setbacks. So then I was like, okay, like, it's just one thing after another. It has, even though it's about to be done, I'm like, I don't look forward to it.
Yeah, it's like you just lose interest. It's
yeah, like who cares?
Because you're figuring out how to do your thing without that at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, because you, I mean, like, I've been without it for 2.5 months, so I've had to like start working on other things essentially. So like at that point, like I've made new like new accommodations, new like for lack of better terms, plans. Even though they're not plans, I'm like still, you know, this is an idea I might go with. I might do this. So like, yeah, right now the van is definitely on the chopping block, and like I will probably sell that van.
Yeah.
But the good news is it has a brand new transmission. So
brand new. If anyone's in the market for a ProMaster,
yeah,
I know a guy.
I got so, you know what the biggest bummer about that is I got a custom made bed for it. And it's so comfortable. It's maybe more comfortable than my real bed.
Well, you'll use it a little bit.
A little, yeah. Before. But I'm like, man, selling that. And it's like, it's built for that shape, you know? So I'm like, I can't use it for anything else. So whoever gets that van is just going to get a sick mat. It's so comfy.
So I'm sure people are curious about the church that you purchase and are converting.
Yeah.
If you go onto Instagram, the handle is
it's God Moved Out, all one word. That's on TikTok or Instagram.
So good. I didn't even know you made that like handle for anything. And then one day I saw on your tattoo page you shared that, and I was like, God Moved Out. And I was like, oh, that's the church that he's converting. So fucking good.
Yeah, it's an old Church of the Brethren is like the sect of church of it.
Okay.
So it was going to be the Church of the Brethren. Like, I was like, I had all these ideas. Church. And then I was like, oh, I think there was one iteration that was like God's Been Evicted or something like that. And when I made God Moved Out, I laughed. So I was like, oh, man, that's so really, funny. Really funny. And my family's religious. And so my mom messaged me. Like, she never messages me about, like, social media stuff or anything like that. You know, we kind of just don't talk about that. And she just messaged me and she said, God never moves out. And I said, I evicted him, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Yeah, I was like, thanks for checking in.
It's
on
such
me.
A Midwest mom,
oh,
mom move.
Oh, for sure. Actually, there's a last time I was at the church, you've been to my house, my old house.
Yeah, yeah.
That I have a mannequin, and then I made a cosplay of a Harry Potter character, like the original Death Eaters, who have a very tall, like almost dunce like cap, and it has like a skull.
Yeah.
And my mom saw it and was like, what is that back there? And I'm like, oh, it's a Harry Potter cosplay. And she's like, oh, good. I couldn't tell if it was something to do with Satan or racism. And I go, well, Mom, there's one that I can promise you it's not. And it's racism.
It's not
and
racism.
She just sent me this emoji, like the shh emoji. And I was like, yeah, we don't talk about that. We just leave that alone.
I don't know if it's racism or Satan.
I go, I promise you it's not racism. I'm not like satanic, of course. But
is
like,
that the title of this podcast?
Yeah,
racism or Satanism? Question mark.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
A good name. It's a eye catcher. You know?
Oh, people, yeah. Like, huh? Clickbaity.
Yeah, then people are like, people who didn't actually watch it are like,
oh, so Talon's racist now.
Yeah, I thought that Earthgrasper guy might be racist, yeah. Actually, just from that. I'm not.
No.
Super, super not.
Super not. So you got the church, and you're doing kitchen, kind of bedroom. You got an art room, bathroom.
It's all built to replicate the shape of a church. So the choir loft, the original choir loft, is going to be the main bedroom, and that overlooks the whole thing. The kitchen has been elevated like a pulpit, and there's like an island, like the island that has my sink and all that stuff in it, is elevated to the center. So it looks like the pulpit.
The pulpit,
like, and then the basement is less.
It's where Sunday
churchy.
School was happening.
Yeah, it was just a giant. When I got it, the top was just an atrium, and the bottom was also just open. It was, what was it? She had it run. It was like run as like a venue, the upstairs. Like you could rent it for a wedding or something.
Yeah, they had like kitchen equipment and stuff down
in
there.
In the basement, yeah. In the basement, she had like an industrial kitchen. And she ran not an antique store, but it was almost like a flea market, like on like every other weekend or something. Okay. So when I bought it, it was like full to the brim with stuff. And I had to like,
Rip it all out.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was, The basement took a lot of work, but that's like finally almost done now. I have like an art room. I have like a theater room, like essentially a living room. Then I built this bathroom, and it has been, I've been doing like, my brother and I have been doing it together. And it's been cool because it has been like a really neat like bonding like situation with my brother, one of my brothers who I was never like particularly close with.
Yeah.
So it's been really cool, but like, man, am I glad that I draw for a living instead of doing manual labor, because like doing all that stuff is so punishing. It's crazy.
I mean, I've heard all the ins and outs, like how much money you've invested in the bathroom alone.
My God. Yeah,
which we don't even need to get into.
But I, of course, had, as any homeowner could tell you, for the most part, I reckon, I had a contractor who did some real contractor stuff and had to be fired. There was a bit of money wasted on that. And now every single thing that we do, it's almost a joke to just be like, what was he going to do here? Like, what was the plan here?
Yeah.
My new plumber just told me, you know, the way he laid out all the pipes, like he's like, all the stuff that he bought, all the, like the toilet and the shower stuff that he bought doesn't even fit the pipes that he put in. So it's like, it's stuff like that where you're just like, what a waste of money this has been.
Yeah, what are we doing here?
Now that we do it ourselves, like we save a lot of money. Obviously, it takes a lot of time, but it's kind of cool to just like have something like that where I can be like, yeah, I built this with my brother, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's pretty neat.
So this isn't really going to be like a permanent residence for you. It's more like, I kind of view it as like a not mobile. It's like a an art studio slash live-in kind of place. If you wanted to spend a lot of time there, you could.
Yeah, I view it as like, I mean, the goal is, I would love to be a snowbird, you know? Like,
okay.
I golf. I love playing golf. And so, like, if I could spend, like, most of the good weather there, it's essentially, I'm building, like, a childhood dream. Like, it's like, it's like a less creepy version of what Michael Jackson did, you know, like, like I remember being a kid being at church, and like, I would always find a reason to leave the sermon and like go just wander around. And one time I had left, the sermon, and I went upstairs into the loft, and I was just overlooking the whole church. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, the building's amazing. Like, I don't really fuck with what's going on here, but like the building's so cool. So like, that's kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, like every kid, you know, I skateboarded. So I was like, one day I want a house I could skateboard in. I've skateboarded in the church already, you know? I just recently was like, I want a slide going from the choir loft down. Yeah. And I'm like, so, and then I looked up slides and I was like, yeah. So it's kind of going to be, it's going to kind of be like, sort of like just that like dream house. But yeah, I mean, ideally,
like fill it with art, have a cool place to hang out.
Oh yeah. I have, the amount of art that I have collected over the years is honestly kind of a bummer, because I don't even think I have enough space at this church for it.
Really?
Like at my old house in Denver, it was, I didn't have much space. It was like 1,000 square foot house. So, but every time I would see a really cool original from an artist that I like, I'd buy it. And so I moved like 4 boxes of just original art in tubes And like some of them have like three or four pieces in them. So like I don't actually even know what I have there. I know I have a lot of original art.
Yeah.
And like the idea of framing it all makes me terrified at what that bill will be. But yeah, I don't know. It should just be, if all goes well, it would be like just this great place for me and my friends to hang and kind of get away. It's a small town. Like,
yeah.
I want it to be a place where like you can come and hang out and like friends can come and just relax, you know, like get away from the city. And that's kind of what I want too. It's just like a place that is cool. And then, yeah, like I'll go when it's cold, I'll go somewhere else and play golf. I don't know.
So speaking of that, going to warmer places and whatever, you're still obviously tattooing. I mean, you've tattooed probably more this past month than other months prior.
Yeah.
Because you're like trying to figure things out with moving around. You're going to be working out of different studios, which is cool, like you said, because when you're working in a environment with other creative people, I think it's a better work environment. Like
absolutely.
If you isolate yourself, you lose creativity and whatever. So you're going to be in Portland, Oregon, Phoenix, Arizona. You'll still be tattooing here in Denver.
And then Fort Wayne, Indiana as well.
Fort Wayne, Indiana. Yeah. Wasn't there a place in Iowa too?
Yeah, I tattoo at my friend's studio there called Ironheart. And like I actually am really excited about it because like we said, working at one studio around people is cool because you're surrounded. But it can get, I don't want to say like monotonous, but like you can lose some of that inspiration if you're around the same people every day.
Yeah.
And if I'm going to all these different studios, like, yeah, it's cool. It's constant like reignition of being excited, you know,
different personalities, different personal connections with people, different artwork. Like that's gotta be a really cool way to do it.
And you know, when you work around other people, you, like I said, just watching you make videos made me be like, I want to make videos.
Yeah.
And like, if I work around a Black and Gray, like in Portland, I'll be working with a guy named Sean Hebrink who does like really cool Black and Gray. And it's like, even though I don't do that, there's something you can learn from that. So just being around him, I'm excited about that. And then, you know, at Ironheart, there's like a very big like traditional vibe there. And so like, yeah, you kind of get, I'm hoping that I get to have a little bit of inspiration from like all of that, like kind of cherry pick it, you know?
Yeah. So I mean, over the next, say you do this for 3 years, like your style will probably evolve a little bit.
I hope.
Depending on the pieces that like clients are coming to you, maybe giving you ideas that I'm sure you get a lot of similar stuff like in Denver, you've been tattooing here for a little while now, but I'm sure different areas of the country too, people want different artwork.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Like, you know, if you go to the Midwest, if you go to Denver, this happens anywhere. People want tattoos that remind them of Denver.
I want mountains.
Mountains.
Yeah.
You know, they want mountains. They want the kind of animals that they can see on hikes. And then you go to the Midwest and people are like, I want a robin. And I'm like, of course you do. And they're like, I want a fish. I'm like, well, of course you do.
I never thought about it like that, but
for sure.
What tattoos are people getting in Phoenix? Like fucking cactuses?
Saguaro cacti, roadrunners.
Roadrunners, okay.
I did like coyotes, that kind of stuff.
I forget the name of the flower that's down there, but I'm sure a lot of that is like background.
Yeah, oh yeah, there's all sorts of like a lot of like pretty deserts. Actually, just like a few days ago, I tattooed a desert scene like on a friend who also used to live in Phoenix.
Okay.
So like, yeah, it is regional like that. Like, yeah, here I've heard someone call it the Colorado tribal is like the mountainscape here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so many people have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it's not a bad tattoo.
Not a bad tattoo. It can be applied technically bad, but
yeah. And like what we talked about before, I've seen some people just do it in the center of their forearm and it's like, you just made a stop sign.
Yeah.
Like,
don't do that.
How do we get around this?
Speaking of that stuff, how about, some of the worst tattoo trends? Because like that whole thing reminded me of, it almost looks like this, but when people get just like the black silhouette trees, which was like probably a 2010 thing.
Yeah.
They'll get like, when the stencils of these were going on, I was like, I know you're doing color on this.
He said, you
like,
better not be doing what I think.
It's not just black silhouettes. And granted, it's very different from what I'm talking about, but you get those long skinny trees that'll typically come up almost a full forearm. And there's like a crow in the background. Ton of negative space, and then you've just completely wasted a whole piece of canvas there.
Yeah, I guess my biggest problem about those is like the relative space above it. Like if we're looking at anything that has any sort of concept, if you do your whole lower forearm as this is the ground, then all of this is sky.
And then it's like, oh, let's just do space.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean?
Space stuff.
Let's just do a ton of birds. You know, like, I don't know. You don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that always, always, always matters. But, like, that is something that being someone who does large-scale stuff, that's something that I consider a lot is, like, what is the relationship between this and this space? You know, and yeah. if you put the ground here on the top of your arm, everything under it is technically underground. Dirt, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, so it's...
We kind of are... or have gone through that with the first piece you put on me because the ground stops at my belt line.
Yeah.
But I want to connect like my leg and back pieces all together, which you don't like typically doing. You like leaving breathing room.
I like a little breathing room personally.
And I'm like, saturate it.
Zero skin.
No skin.
Yeah.
So we already came up with ideas for how we can tie things together. But
a lot of times what's nice about yours is it has perspective. So we can,
true.
In theory, pull the ground out further.
Yeah,
and that
forward.
Change. Yeah, you can still keep the same perspective. But yeah, like that's the thing. Like I think that's a thing that you learn as you get older and you've been doing tattoos longer. As you learn how to get yourself out of a box that you maybe put yourself into. So yeah, we did put a ground line, but because of the perspective, we have the availability
pull
to pull it forward. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, that's stuff you learn just. Messing up a lot.
So we got the silhouetted trees on forearms. We got the mountainscape. I don't think that one's too terrible.
Upside down words.
Upside down. Oh, yeah. This tattoo's for me, so put it on upside down.
Yeah. And that one's very funny to me because it's really only, it is like almost only on your wrist.
And then it's a cross. And then you're like.
And then you're just worshiping the devil. Now my mom's going to message you and be like, what does that mean?
It's for me. So, but then when you're walking around, you got an upside down cross on your arm.
Yeah. The way I always phrase it is, what if I put it right here on the outside of your bicep? Would you still want it upside down? And people are like, no. I go, it's because there is actually a right or wrong way. Like the amount of sleeves that I've done that I have to cover a small word that's upside down is like, I would say like over 50% of sleeves.
Ugh, it's so bad. I have one tattoo like that, which was kind of conflicting, but on my upper shoulder here, I have a camera, which, and we're talking about like kind of really technical stuff. No one would know, but technically this is not facing the correct way. However, if you like generally on a big piece like this, and you can talk more about it too, but the subject matter should be facing inward.
Yeah, you want it going to the... Essentially, you want it going to the front of your body. And it's definitely more of a guideline than a rule. There are exceptions, like your arm.
Yeah.
That works. Especially because you have those tentacles coming forward.
Yeah.
So, like, I do feel like it's still coming towards us. You know what I mean?
The only way to apply this in that, like, traditional sense that we're talking about would be to, like, invert the image and then the camera. So... this is a camera. It's essentially the same one that I still film on today. Yeah. I've been using them forever now. It has like a screen that flips out one side. So if you flip the image, it would just look completely wrong.
Yeah,
so,
it'd be the opposite.
Yeah.
It's the evil version of that camera.
The
it's
evil like version.
The bizarro world.
Satan's camera.
Yeah. I do. I have one technically backwards tattoo as well. I have a Japanese ghost. And it's like it was drawn to fit a space.
Okay.
So it fit that way. And it's small. And, like, that's why, I mean, it is definitely more of a guideline.
Yeah. And there's a lot of technicalities when it comes to Japanese tattoos, too.
Yeah. You know what, though? This is actually, like, a really interesting point. I tattooed there's a tattooer named Horisuki. And he's in Hong Kong. And he's, like, a master Japanese tattooer. And him and I were talking one day. I tattooed his throat and he tattooed my leg. We did a little swap and we were just talking about stuff. And I mentioned to him that I would like to do more Japanese stuff one day. I was like, I really like, I don't like the dragons are cool and stuff, but like the traditional imagery of like a dragon and a koi and stuff like that doesn't really interest me. I'm really into like the yokai, like all like the weird like folklore stuff. Yeah, like Hanya, Okami, that kind, like just those different kinds of masks and
what's
stuff.
What's the pickle monster?
A kappa.
Kappa. That one's new to me. That was not in my tattoo vocabulary.
Like little river monsters that like drag you under the water.
They have cucumbers.
And yeah, they're obsessed with like cucumbers or pickles, so you often see them with them. There's a lot of very funny things to Japanese art. There's a part of like a a sect of Japanese art called the Shunga, like Shunga, Shunga. Okay. And it's like, it's hypersexualized, but almost in a humorous way. Like there's a very famous painting of Shunga where like people are like this village is at battle and they're all just like bent over farting at each other. What? Yeah. And like, they're like classical paintings, like Japanese, like yokai-oi paintings.
Okay.
But they're like, they're all very like weirdly sexual. And like I said, they're not all funny, but a lot of them are very like funny.
There was one hanging at the shop in Denver that was like, it looked like, I think it was Satan.
Oh yeah, there's like a demon, like, and the woman's face is like straddling.
He's like sticking his face like between her legs.
Yeah, that's like kind of Shunga. Like, okay. And a lot of times the anatomy will be like very exaggerated in that, like, there'll be like a woman bent over on one side of the room, and across the room a dude will be like peeking around the corner and his dick will be going all the way across the room. Like, it's like weird stuff like that.
Okay.
Like, but that's the really fun, like, to me, that's the funny, cool stuff about Japanese. But that I was telling about Horisuki, he told me, his name's Dust, and he was like, I was telling him I wanted to do more Japanese stuff, and he's like, well, why don't you? And there is this, like, belief that there's so many rules to follow, and there are. Like, once again, I would call them guidelines.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just don't know all the rules and stuff like that. And he flipped through my book, my portfolio at the time, and he pointed at a picture of a woman head that I drew that had, like half of her face was missing and there was a bird coming out of it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what about this rule? Like, birds don't come out of women's faces. Like, you know, you break the rules all the time. Like, what does it matter if, like, you do? I was like, oh, shit, dude, you're right. So, like, ever since then, I've really liked, I like drawing a little bit of, like, even, like I said, in this painting behind us is, like, the fire is, like, based off of, like, what you would see in, like, classical Japanese paintings. Like,
yeah,
I just like to take little pieces of it and do my own thing with it. And I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who are like frowning upon it, but like, I don't know, it's fun. It's fun to do. It's like, yeah. And like the history of tattooing is very closely tied to Japanese culture because like they essentially invented modern tattooing. So sure. I know some people cry like cultural appropriation in that. And like, I can see that, or like fetishization of a culture. And I can see that sometimes. Like, I think that it can be done wrong for sure. But I do think that as a tattooer, there's like, our histories are actually like really like closely tied. They did invent modern tattooing. And yeah. Like a lot of American tattooing is like traditional is very heavily based off of like Japanese culture as well.
Yeah, it is interesting because when you compare the styles right next to each other, they do share a lot in common.
For sure, yeah.
And it is crazy to me how many artists I see that are like, they say they specialize in Japanese artwork. I don't know if it's like, I can't speak on it because I've never tattooed myself, but it seems like it's very repetitive, like you said. It's kind of the same stuff all the time, finger waves and koi yeah. and things like that. But, yeah, there's a ton of American Japanese specialist artists, oh, yeah. I guess you would
absolutely.
Call
it. And, like, it's a good tattoo. It'll last. It's yeah. a tattoo. It's built on, like I said, the foundation of it is traditional, like what we consider traditional tattooing, and that comes from Japanese tattooing. Like, so yeah. we... like it they're very like the Venn diagram of like traditional and Japanese like overlap quite a bit, and that's why I think there's a lot of like quote-unquote American traditional Japanese tattooers.
Yeah, and I mean I personally feel like those are some of the best styles because of the longevity of the tattoo.
Absolutely. Yeah,
like obviously there's a lot of trends with like the whole Pinterest craze of like fine line tattoos and little infinity symbols
yeah.
with like a dandelion seed yeah. flying away, things like that. Like, cool.
You know, I used to those were like the bane of my existence, and now I'm like, I'd love to do those. You know how many of those you can smash out in a day?
You'd make so many.
You can make so much more money if your goal is to make money as a tattooer, which it shouldn't be. Like, if you're in it for money, you're in it for the wrong reasons. Like, there's too many interlopers already, so like, have a little passion, but god yeah. damn it, if you want to make money, go to a walk-in shop and you hammer those. Like, you can make 20 of those a day if your minimum is 200. Even if you have a cheap minimum of like $200, you're making more than I'm making in a day, you know, yeah. like doing one large piece all day. Like,
That reminds me of a story going back to talking about like how you won't tattoo anyone who's under 18 or 16, placement and things like that. I was getting, I think I was working on my left arm at the time, just typical, whatever routine tattoo session. And, there was an apprentice in the shop tattooing and a older woman and her daughter came in, and I like, I don't have any like crazy tattoo stories or whatever, but this one just sticks out to me. The mom got some little thing like on her wrist or whatever, but they paid, I don't know if they paid like hourly in advance or something, but she was like, oh, well, since we still have time, like, could you tattoo my daughter? And the apprentice was like, yeah, I mean, I could do that. That's cool. Like, fine, whatever. And she was like, what are you thinking? She was like, well, she's always talked about like a, I don't know what it was, like a rose. And she was like, maybe like a rose up behind her ear. And luckily the apprentice knows what she's talking about. And she was like, yeah, that's probably not the best spot. She was like, might've been 17, 16, yeah. 17. And this is her mom saying like,
It's the same as that. The one woman's mom being like, they're so in love.
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's what made me think of it. And then she was like, okay, well, what about like, how about on her like finger, like right here, like a rose and then petals and stuff. And my friend who was tattooing me, the owner of the shop, like kind of interrupted because we were both just like completely overhearing this conversation in the same room. And he was like, yeah, that's not a good idea either. Like as he's tattooing me.
It is like, I have a love hate with that too. And like, for those of you who don't know, it is a bad idea to tattoo the inside of your finger. They just don't. It's not a space that's like going to hold a tattoo nicely, especially something dainty, which is what people want to do.
Yeah.
And in that situation, I feel like that's just someone who's ill-informed. They just don't know that stuff. And like, I do think that there's a natural inclination through a lot of tattooers. Like we talked before about like tattooers not being, you know, assholes, whatever. A lot of them still are. That's the bottom line. They're different, but a lot of tattooers are still assholes. And I think that the way that some people react to that stuff and be like, no, that's dumb, don't fucking do that, like that's a perfect opportunity to inform someone properly. So like,
and he did, he was like no, that's not a good idea. He's like I don't want to like interrupt here. He's like, but this is my shop, your daughter is like technically underage and you're asking for visible tattoos on this poor girl who doesn't even have I don't think she had
especially
any tattoos
from an apprentice.
Yeah. And
which
granted,
someone who's learning, you know?
Yes, she is actually out of her like apprenticeship now. Tattoos at that shop, she is phenomenal. She does really good, like good color work.
Like, but even if someone's amazing at their apprenticeship, you're still learning.
Yeah,
you know, like you are still not a full-time artist at
and
that
she's
point.
Like, yeah, blast something on the back of my head. Yeah. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's hard. It's like, in the unfortunate side of it is like a lot of times you do inform someone, be like, that's actually not a bad idea, and they don't care. One, I have a relatively poignant story about that, very similar. A woman came in for her first tattoo, wanted like a wing, just like a wing behind her head and the feathers to come down her neck. I said, no, I'm not comfortable doing that tattoo. You know, your first tattoo on your neck, I just don't think it's a very good idea. Like, you don't even know if you're going to sit well. Like, you don't know what tattoos feel like.
No tattoo at
all. You
have
nothing. Yeah. And so she was like, she kind of huffed and puffed and like got upset and left. She came back with it done from like
a shop down the road.
A not good shop. And it was so janky. It looks so bad. And she's like, now will you cover it? And I was like, no, I'm not going to make this problem go away for you because you didn't listen to me. Like, you know, like I'm not going to reward you with that. Like,
yeah,
I hope she did get it covered at some point now. Like, but that's not what I want to do, you know, with my time. But that's the unfortunate truth of it is sometimes like, even when you do take the opportunity, that perfect opportunity to inform someone, sometimes people are still just like, nope, I'm right. Customer's always right.
I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. I've heard a lot of artists tell like very similar stories. They're like, yeah, I'm not comfortable doing that. Or like, that's not really my thing. And then they'll go to the shop down the road and then come back a month later like, hey, could you cover this up? It's like, oh, my prices were too high for you. Now I have to cover some fucking ignorant tattoo that you went and got. Like, what is going on?
There was a tattoo school in Glendale.
Scottsdale?
No, Gilbert. I worked Gilbert. In Gilbert. Okay. I was like, where the hell did I work?
Yeah, yeah.
There was a tattoo school there, and one time a kid showed up with a half-finished tattoo that he had just got. He was getting it at the tattoo school, recognized that it was bad, like in the middle of the tattoo, left, was like, I gotta go. Got up and left in the middle of the tattoo, paid the guy. He did pay him. And then he came straight to me and was like, what can we do? And I was like, we need to let that heal. Oh, and then I will do something. But it was like
legit half, like still pussy like plasma still bleeding. Yes.
Yeah. I was like, oh, and it was chopped up. Like it was properly fucked.
I mean, you can feel when a tattoo is not being applied properly.
If you got eyes and you look down and it looks chewed up, it's probably chewed up. You know?
Like, generally not going to turn out very well. I'm sure that did not heal great either. Did you tattoo over it then?
I did end up tattooing. He'd got like a half of a diamond. It was like it was like just like a chunk of a diamond. And like it was, I think the weirdest part was if I could be remembering this incorrectly, it was a while ago, but I actually think that it was like half lined and half colored. Like that maybe they were like, I don't know, for some reason.
So you started shading something that wasn't full.
Yeah, yeah. I think it was something that absurd. Like I could be exaggerating. I don't know. Maybe I remember the story in a more aggressive way. But if I close my eyes, in my mind's eye, I see a half-colored diamond. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck is this thing?
Yeah. Well, I was going to do the cliche question of like crazy tattoo stories. But I mean, there's so many freaking stories like that.
Way too many. I could give you what I consider to be my craziest one.
You know it off the top of your head, you think?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
This is one that sticks with me forever.
Have you told me this before?
I don't know. Does the name Michael
no.
ring a bell?
Oh, okay. I'm invested now. Let's hear it.
I'm about to close. I'm working. This is at that Gilbert shop. I'm about to close. I had finished tattooing for the day. I'm getting ready. I had already like put all my stuff away. And this woman comes in kind of in a rush. And she's like, I'm so sorry that I know you guys are closing. Can I get a quick tattoo? I was like very hungry at this time in tattooing. And I was like, yeah, man, any tattoo is a tattoo. I'm in. And she wanted the name Michael across her up like a mid forearm. I said, yeah, for sure. Write it down. What I like to do is I don't do writing, but when I did, I would always have someone write it down. I go, write it down the way you want it spelled. That way all accountability is off for me.
Sure.
She writes it down. I go, cool, let me draw it. So I make it fancy script. I put it on her. I start tattooing. I got the M-I done. I'm starting the C. And I go, cool, who's Michael? Which is always a risk. You don't want to do that all the time because sometimes it might be like, oh, it's so-and-so who died. And it like, it might bring up a weird situation. But I was, she didn't seem sad, whatever. I was like, who's Michael? She's like, he's my boyfriend. I go, oh, cool. And she goes, that was the floodgates. I opened them. And she goes, yeah, I'm really hoping that this kind of helps out a situation.
Oh,
and now I'm like,
no.
What does that mean? And I'm like, what situation are you trying to remedy? And she's like, well, I left my Facebook open. And he went on my Facebook and I was talking to one of his friends. And I go, talking to or talking
sending
to?
Titty
and she
pics.
Yeah, she's like, she goes, yeah, talking to. And I go, are we talking, you're just talking inappropriately, or are we sending nudes and stuff? And she's like, yeah, a little bit of both. And I was like, ooh. I'm like, okay, yeah. So now I'm halfway through this tattoo and I'm like, so this is a tattoo to try to get him to recognize how committed you are after.
She wants it quick. So
yeah.
Like.
And I go, when did this happen? And she says, this morning. And I was like, at this point, I had to stop tattooing for a second and be like,
oh,
this is a bad idea. Like this, like this is not the way to show him you're committed. So I kindly finished and I bandaged it. I did it very dainty. I used like a tiny, like a 5 or something liner. So it was potentially easy to cover.
Yeah.
And I gave her my card and I said, if this doesn't go the way that you need it to go and you need this taken care of, like, let me know and I can sort it out. Never heard from her again. So I don't know what happened, but that was like that's the wildest shit to me, to be like, ooh, got caught cheating this morning. gonna go get his name tattooed on my forearm to like try to make up for it. And it was like, it shook me. I told that story for years after. I'm still telling it, you know, but I was just like, I would be like, yeah, man, I don't know. I think about her all the time. What's Michael? How did Michael feel about
Maybe
it?
Maybe Michael's
know?
Watching or Michael, listening to this right now.
Was it okay? Is it fine? Everything's good. Like,
hectic. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that's a good stopping
that's
point.
A good place to end. That's a crazy tattoo story.
Yeah, we could talk about tattoos and other stories for a long time. Yeah. But, where can the people find you at?
Like I said, I will be in Portland, Oregon tattooing, in Denver, Colorado tattooing, and Fort Wayne, Indiana. Those will be like my three main hubs. I also go to Phoenix, and I travel around a lot. On Instagram, Earthgrasper. If you want to follow the church, it's God Moved Out.
If people want to get a tattoo from you, when do your books open?
I don't have a for sure day. I haven't opened them for like to new clients in like 3 years or something now. I don't even know if I want to like officially open or close anything ever. I kind of just want to like, if you got a cool idea, just if you got something that you look at my tattoos and you say, I think this guy could do a good job with this. Shoot me a message.
Make sure it's big.
Yeah.
We don't want to do little jammers.
I generally do large scale stuff. So like, yeah, if you got an idea, pitch it to me, you know, like I don't want to be like books are closed. I'm not taking clients. Like if you got a cool project and you're down to like work with me and maybe wait a little bit, I'm happy to do it.
Cool.
So,
you know, that's what I did. And
yeah,
I'm still getting tattooed.
Look at you now. Still gone, bud.
My back's still healing. I can feel it itching right now. All right, cool. Well, that's it for this week's episode. Follow Jonathan over on Instagram, Earthgrasper. Make sure he posts on Instagram more this year, too.
Keep me honest. If you don't see anything halfway through the year, just be like, I thought you were going to post.
Yeah, go out there, get some sick tattoos, and I want to do something like this, probably in like a video form. I don't know when I'll do that. A lot of people, like I said in the beginning, ask me about tattoo stuff, so I could make like a bunch of topical videos, but I don't know. My audience sometimes is weird about that.
They're like, we just want trucks, bro.
Yeah. Just show me those knives.
We talked about vans today.
Yeah.
I also collect knives, so I'm cool too, guys.
That's it. That's the episode. Thank you guys for listening and watching, and I will talk to you in the next one.
Bye.